Hey, what's up, y'all? All right, so this is going to be the start of a kind of interesting little series here. It's going to be a four-part series that I'm going to do, and I'm going to kind of approach things a little bit differently than maybe I have in the past. You know, it's still kind of early in the season right now. As I'm filming this, we're still just in late February, and this series will probably go into early March, but I thought what I would like to do early on here is maybe kind of hit you with some kind of philosophical, strategic type content. When I say that, I like to use analogies that can open windows of understanding as you move forward in your approach to your lawn care this year. And the reason I'm doing that is because as our community has grown, as it's gotten bigger, we're now finding, you know, there are folks of all skill levels, you know, that are watching the content, as well as many of the folks that have started in the community, have viewers, have now started their own channels and are moving up and are covering new and different and exciting and awesome subject matter. And, you know, I think it's important that I personally continue to teach and convey concepts and strategies and approaches in my way. And in fact, I want to kind of define those again, but just do them in a different way. As I've often said, I'm kind of like an eighth grade teacher who teaches the same subject every single year, and I've been teaching that subject now for 11 years here on YouTube. And it's up to me to keep it exciting for myself so that way I can hopefully keep it exciting for you, the viewer, and also for the new folks that are coming in. And so as I approach this series, I'm going to call it Street Legal Lawn Care. Now, there's a reason I'm calling it that. I like the title. I probably hang around Cletus a little bit too much and his street legal automobiles, but the real reason I'm calling that is because it relates to an analogy that I once heard from my father that I just recently interviewed him to expound upon, because it will shed light or throw light or open windows of understanding upon the way we approach lawn care. And what I mean by that is, you know, my dad is one of the wisest men that I know. He's my ultimate hero in life. I'm very fortunate. I grew up with wonderful parents. And, you know, my dad has always been a mentor to me and somebody that I've seen wisdom in. And, you know, he spent more than 25 years as a firefighter and a paramedic in St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, St. Petersburg is one of the larger cities in Florida. And he's been retired for quite some time now. But over the years, when I was younger, he didn't talk a lot about his job. He kind of kept those things inward. I don't know if it's because of things he saw or whatever it was, but he didn't really talk about those things. But as he's gotten older, he will say things every once in a while about things he learned on the job. And I kind of take those and ponder them. And sometimes I'll ask him a little bit more and we'll talk about it. And something he said a few years ago was that when he first became a paramedic, that he had to learn very quick the difference in book medicine and street medicine. And I thought to myself, that's a very interesting concept. And I kind of pondered it over the years, but now recently I've been thinking about that more and more. And I've actually thought about it in the way that I teach lawn care. I teach street lawn care and not necessarily book lawn care. And so I'm going to go now to an interview that I did with my dad, because he's going to kind of talk about that concept from his point of view as a paramedic. And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about it and how I apply it to what I teach you guys here on YouTube. I got Dad on the phone. Dad, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine this morning. How are you, Alan?
I'm great.
Good to hear from you.
You too, Dad. All right. So tell me a little bit about what you were talking about when you were in a paramedic, how you had to learn the difference once you got out and going in book or school, being a book or school medicine, so school medicine, book medicine versus street medicine, and how you had to understand the difference in the two. So first, define to me, what does that mean, the difference in book medicine and street medicine?
Yeah, okay. When you're in school, they teach you out of your books what to do and how to do it in certain situations, depending upon what you're experiencing. For example, if a patient is having a heart attack, you do A, B, C, and D. If you're having a stroke, you do A, B, C, or D. If they're having a diabetic coma or insulin shock, you treat them this way. The book gives you what to do under the different circumstances you're going to run into, but what it does is you're getting a good foundation, an understanding of what's going on with that patient based upon what they're experiencing and what you're to treat. That's your foundation. When you actually get out on the road and you're actually treating them, instead of treating the book, you have to treat the patient. And what that means is every patient will react differently. They may have other things going on in their life that you want to treat the patient by what you're experiencing, not necessarily strictly by the book. I have an example of that.
Okay. Before we get the example, so the idea would be then that just because the book says this is how you're going to help somebody that's having a heart attack, or this is how you're going to help somebody that's having a stroke or a diabetic attack or whatever, you first have to look at that person and where they are, and where they are in their stance or where they sit, and then understand if the book actually applies, or are there some steps you might need to take beforehand in the streets to get them to a point where the book can then apply?
Well, you have to, let me give you the example, Alan. Maybe that would be the best way. You're right. Okay. That's what you have to do. I have two examples, really. I was on duty, and I went on a car wreck. And the theory is that we had rescue from the fire department, but we also had private ambulance service. The private ambulance service was run by the county. So whoever got on the scene first would be in charge of that scene. If rescue got there first, the paramedic on the rescue truck was in charge. If the ambulance got there first, they were in charge. When we got to this scene, we were at a cross section of an intersection with a red light. The ambulance was at the intersection as I pulled up to the intersection, so I stopped and let him go into the scene first, meaning that he would have been in charge of the scene. Now, I'm not going to make it drawn out, but here's what happened. I got out of the rescue truck, and I went to a man that was standing next to his truck that was in the accident. He said, he's fine. I don't need any help right now. I'll go take care of the others. And I went over to the car that was involved in the accident, and there was a young lady sitting in the front passenger seat. I went around to the driver's seat, sat down, and was talking to her. Now, she was pretty hysterical. I mean, she had just been in an accident. She had a baby in the back seat, and she was pretty hysterical. I mean, she was really shook up. So instead of just jumping in and, this lady's in shock, and I got to get her this and this and this, I went ahead and just sat there and talked to her and got her calmed down. Got her all okay. Your baby's fine. Are you hurting anywhere? Did you get hurt? Your car got mashed, but don't worry about it. Car is a car. How about you? Well, it turned out that she really wasn't hurt. She was just panicking. Got her all calmed down. She did not want to go to the hospital. And I said, well, you know, you've been in a wreck. We don't know. Sometimes things happen that a little later on when you get calmed down, you'll realize that something did get hurt. She decided she would go to the hospital. So the ambulance brought their stretcher over. And the protocol says that you put them on a backboard. You strap them all down, you put head restraints on them, and all of that type of stuff. Well, as soon as they started to do that, she went panic-stricken again. Mm. And I mean, she was really, really, really shook up at that point. She was not going to get on that backboard.
Yeah.
So I told them, leave her off of that backboard. Just get her to the hospital. You're going to cause more damage to her by following the book. Then if you leave her on there, watch her and get her there. Well, they reported me and to the doctor that was in charge of the EMS system there in Pinellas County. And I had to go answer for that. And I just told the doctor at the time, yes, she probably was in shock, at least first degree shock, which is just, you know, the panic type. Mm-hmm. And I said, but I got to calm down, doctor. And I said, she was fine. And I said, you just talk to him. You treat the patient as a person. But then when they got ready to put her on that backboard and she went back into that panic and shock and I'm not going to do it and was scared to death, you're going to cause more harm to that patient by forcing her. And that's how you treat a patient versus the book.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Plus, she had a baby with her. So, you know, getting on a backboard, she doesn't have access to her baby.
The baby was fine. The baby wasn't hurt. it was restrained in his child's seat in the back, and it wasn't hurt. But she didn't know that.
Yeah. No, that's it. So that's a perfect example of dealing with a situation and the person before worrying about, hey, this is what the book says you have to do.
That's right. Now, if we'd have followed protocol, what we call standard operating procedures or SOPs, then I would have said, yeah, you got to get on that backboard and you got to lay down and we're going to do all this stuff to you. Why, good night sakes alive. Who knows what we could have done to that young lady. Just her mental state. What would it, not her physical state. What would we would have done to her mental state? You know, forcing her to do something that we knew was going to be by the book, but not by her.
Right. And you said you had another example. What's your, let's, because I, okay, the reason I like these.
Okay, this one happened at church, and I was not on duty. I was in the church service.
Okay.
And a man had a stroke during the service. And so I got up and went back, and there was a couple other guys, and we took him out into the vestibule and got him out of the service. You know, we got to get away from the people. And as we laid him down on the floor, his wife came out and said that he also had congestive heart failure. Now, congestive heart failure is where the heart doesn't pump the blood out fast enough to keep it from backflowing, and it'll backfill and cause fluid on the lungs. And they die of, like a person that was drowning, suffocation.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a stroke. Now, we were taught in school that once a person has a stroke, it's over. There's really nothing more you're going to do for that patient other than just basic care, IV, cardiac monitor, blood pressure, pulse, respirations, and get them to the hospital. Let the hospital do it. They're the definitive care.
Right.
So when she told me that he had congestive heart failure, instead of laying him out flat on the floor, which would be the normal thing to do, I laid him up against me and propped him up. So he was basically in kind of a sitting position. Now, the stroke had already happened, and we weren't going to cause any more damage. Well, later on, the rescue came. Of course, we called the rescue, and they came. Now, they did lay him down flat. But here's the difference. I didn't have the equipment with me to treat the patient if they went into congestive heart failure. The rescue did, which means that they had the ability to go ahead and put the restraining on his arms. You know, you do the two arms, one leg, and then, there's all kinds of stuff you do for a congestive heart failure patient.
Uh-huh.
Suction if they happen to throw up, that type of thing. Well, I didn't have any of that equipment. Well, I was questioned by just one of the other guys in the church who, I don't remember if he was a nurse or had just had some sort of experience. And so I had to explain to him why you treat the patient and not the book. Because he, being a nurse, I think he was, being a nurse, he's used to the hospital setting. He's used to a patient coming into the hospital, placed on a stretcher or gurney or bed or whatever, and they're all standing around him treating the patient. Well, he didn't understand street medicine either.
Uh-huh.
He knew what congestive heart failure was, but he didn't know how to treat it in the road, street. So that's another example of how you treat the patient, not the book.
And the situation at that point. It's not just the patient, too, but it's also the situation.
Yeah, you have to treat the situation. That's right.
Right, the context.
If I laid that patient down, he was still breathing, of course, and his heart was still pumping. Now, if I lay him flat and he's got congestive heart failure and his brain is compromised, his heart is going to be compromised, it would have been very easy for his blood to have backed right up, back up into his lungs and suffocated him. And I had no way to treat that.
Yeah, so by keeping him propped up.
What you do is you keep their heart above, so that they're sitting up, and that keeps the blood drained down. At least it helps. And he was fine. They took him to the hospital, and he was fine. He did okay.
Yeah. So that's, I love it because, obviously, I just love hearing these stories, and not the stories about people getting hurt, but just some of the things you did for your profession. I think it's wonderful. But it's going to be interesting because I'm going to take this analogy now that you've given me, and I'm going to put this into what I do, into lawn care, which I don't know. I'm thinking that people are going to get it and they're going to understand it, but I did. I wanted to give an outside analogy of what I do with lawn care as a way to try to open windows of understanding. And I think these two examples are perfect of that and the difference in medicine.
Yes, that's very good, Alan. I'm sure that there are certain protocols in lawn care that if you got this, you do that, and you put this chemical on it and all of that kind of stuff. But like you say, know your lawn and what your particular area is, where you are in America matters. So I understand that, and that's good, Alan. That's a good analogy to work with.
Yeah, and on top of that, I like the idea about treating the person, because sometimes the lawn has a problem, but the person who owns the lawn tender, I've got to work with that person first before they can fix the problems in their soil. You know, if we've got a brand new homeowner, 32-year-old guy, just bought his house, never owned a house before, never owned a lawn before, he's overwhelmed because his pipes are leaking, his toilets are backing up, maybe his roof needs to be, right? You know? So I've got to deal with him first and be like, bro, it's okay. Let's figure out how to take care of this grass. Let's get you the right equipment first. You don't even have a spreader. You don't even have a mower. I'm going to work on those things, and then I'm going to teach you how to apply fertilizer first, because you might get a lot of stuff from the book that tells you what to put down, but if you don't know how to actually put it down, then it's no good for you. So I've got to work on the person first and understand and meet them where they're at, and then I can move forward with the book stuff. And so that's kind of how it works. Right. It's just not life and death here. Well, I can tell you that some folks that watch my channel, they would think lawns are life and death. Uh-huh. All right, Dad. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. Thanks for being brave, coming on the podcast. You're actually the first live guest I've had. And I say live, we're recording this, but I mean somebody that I'm recording from my phone through the board. You're the first one. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you calling me.
All right, Dad. I love you.
I love you too, Sam.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that. I love hearing my dad's stories. I'm hoping it was something a little different for you, something enjoyable, and that maybe you were able to just kind of get a little something out of that. But the biggest thing I wanted you to get out of it, as far as what we do here on the Lawn Care Nut and in our lawn care community, is kind of look at the different approaches or the different ways that lawn care can be taught, especially, again, as our community grows and there are so many folks of diverse backgrounds and experience levels. And then also I wanted to use it in this series to once again define how I continue to approach and inspire and teach and educate you guys. So the first thing to think about is in the two scenarios that my dad had, the first one was that he had the girl that was in the accident and the book said, put her on the backboard. And he didn't do that because he knew that wasn't going to work out for her right there. He treated her in the moment. He went with the context of what was going on. Instead of going by what the book said, he looked at the patient and where they were at and what state they were in, and he worked with the patient from there in order to get them to the hospital. Now, the doctor who works in a sterile environment, maybe not a sterile environment for sure, but in a controlled environment, right, called him on the carpet for it because you do what we say. My dad kind of said, but look, I had to bob and weave. You know, I had to adapt and overcome. I didn't change the mission. The mission was to work with this patient to get the patient to have, you know, a safe trip to the hospital, to be safe overall, to be healthy, to get checked out. But I had to bob and weave a little bit. I had to adapt in the situation so I didn't make things worse. In the second scenario, he wasn't on duty. He was at church, but he was still helping someone in the capacity of a paramedic in that capacity, but he knew that he didn't have all of his equipment with him. And in fact, he had nothing. And this guy was having this issue. And normally protocol would have said, lay him down, right? But he knew that he didn't have any of the equipment there, that this guy had congestive heart failure. And as he said, if you lay someone down that's had that, then blood can back up into their lungs. Now, if you've got the right equipment there, it's not a problem. You just address it as you move forward and you wait, you know, for EMS to get there and then you get him to the hospital. But he knew he didn't have that available. So he broke the book rule and he did some street medicine by keeping the guy propped up. And then when somebody got there later on that was EMS, then they took over, right? And the nurse that was there, I don't think the nurse at that time was looking down on him because he's a fellow church member, but that nurse who had, once again, a lot of book knowledge and was in this environment in a hospital all the time where everything was kind of controlled or more controlled, the nurse questioned him, why are you doing that, man? Why are you breaking the protocol? My dad said, well, this is why. And I like to look at that scenario and help you guys understand that this is how I actually approach lawn care and teaching you. And I think it's one of the things that makes me unique, even over the last 11 years, that there are so many more folks doing lawn care and teaching lawn care and inspiring you and working with you and building this community. I still think I'm unique in the way that I talk and in my approach and then the way that I teach you and inspire you. And I'm going to have three videos coming up after this where I'm going to give you exact examples of my street legal lawn care versus the book lawn care. But before I do that, I want to next kind of position, where are you at as a DIYer? Because the other thing I want you to understand is I am not actually trying to influence or inspire all of you. I have a specific targeted audience that I kind of stay with. I kind of stay in my lane where I know that I can be comfortable and that I like to be in. And I don't typically try to go out of that. I've tried a few times and it's bit me. And I've realized, you know, stay in your lane, bro. And so I'm thinking as the community grows, I just want to redefine who I'm trying to talk to. It doesn't mean that if you're not in that definition that you shouldn't watch my videos. I hope you will. But I just want you to know this is what I'm going after. And I hope you'll have or find a little bit of humor in this as well, because I'm going to define the different levels of DIYers.